we're the Denver Broncos cheerleaders, and you're listening to Sports Crunch with DeGrom.
Kittens are. This is Sports Crunch with DeGrom. I'm your host, David Cromelo. We are just 20 days away from the most anticipated event of the so-called NFL offseason, the 2024 NFL Draft. And today, in that spirit, we reach the midway point of our 2024 Dash to the Draft Divisional Tour, the AFC South. This division is currently the young quarterback capital of the NFL, as the starting quarterbacks for all four teams are currently on their rookie contracts. Joining us to share his ideas as to what the Titans, Colts, Jaguars, and Texans should do when they're on the clock is our good friend Vinod Tanungi, better known as VT, who's the co-host of the Texans 22 podcast. VT, it's great to have you back with us. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. I'm feeling great. I'm very excited about this season. Can't wait till the draft.
I feel you, my man, and let's hope these 20 days go by extra fast. I can't wait another minute for this draft. And without further ado, let's get down to business here. The Tennessee Titans entered free agency with an abundance of salary cap space, and general manager Rand Carthon made the most of it. Last weekend, they officially finalized a trade for Chiefs star corner Legarius Sneed and gave him a massive new long-term contract as well. But their investments on the offensive side of the ball was the major headline, as they signed running back Tony Pollard, center Lloyd Cushenberry, and, in a move that stunned many, wide receiver Calvin Ridley to high-priced deals. It is clear as day that Rand Carthon and new head coach Brian Callahan want to give Will Levis the best possible chance to succeed, and all sides point to them making another addition to the offense with the 7th overall pick. While taking one of the big three wide receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, or Roma Dunze is definitely on the table, just look at their offensive tackle depth chart at the moment. Dylan Raidens, Nicholas Petit-Frere, Jalen Duncan, and John Ajukwu. Would you be surprised or even shocked if the Titans, should they keep the pick at 7, do not upgrade Will Levis's protection on the edges?
I think that if the Chargers don't take Joe off, that the Titans take him. He's a generational tackle. You kind of have to take him. The Titans had one of the worst lines in the league last year that affected their run game, that affected Will Levis's protection, that hurt, got him hurt. You have to do something to help Will Levis. I think their passing defense got a lot better, right? Mm-hmm. So overall, if you're looking at what their needs are tackle, their needs are receiver. Those are the two biggest things. Now, the thing is, they still have options to get a receiver throughout the rest of this draft. So they don't have to take one so early on, right? The reason why I brought up the passing defense is because a lot of people are talking about corner with them, but they did get Sneed, right? So, yeah. And they got the Bengals corner as well. So they actually will do a lot better. They're the 18th ranked passing defense last year, and they should do a lot better. Now they really have to do something with that offense. So my money's on Joe Walsh if the Chargers don't take him first.
Absolutely. Plus, you know who the new offensive line coach is in Tennessee? Brian Callahan's father, Bill Callahan, one of the legendary offensive line coaches in recent decades. He absolutely gets the utmost out of whoever he puts on that field, and he'll probably be begging everything in sight for Joe Alt if he's still available when the Titans are on the clock. I completely agree. And another thing to keep in mind is that Tennessee only has 2 top 100 selections thanks to that Will Levis trade with the Cardinals last year at 7 and 38 overall. If another team offers the Titans another such selection for them to move back, would you take that deal if you're Rand Carthon?
I wouldn't. I think at this point you can't give up Joe Alt if he's there. You can't trade back and say, we'll just worry about picks for next year. This is a generational tackle talent. You have to worry about it, because look at what you have in the division. The Jaguars D-line, they just got better with Eric Armstead, and we got better with Danico Autry, Daniil Hunter. So you have to protect Will Levis, and you can't do that without a generational talent like a Joe Alt. If you trade back, you're doing a disservice to your quarterback.
I would agree with that. And what makes Joe Alt a generational talent at tackle in your mind?
I mean, his size is one thing, but he actually has really incredible mechanics. If you saw him in the practice in the Senior Bowl, I mean, no one was getting past him. He's pancaking dudes. So, like, he's basically a prototypical tackle. He's like a Laramie Tunsil in the sense of how big he is and how strong he is, but he's also should be pretty good in the run game. And I know that's going to be important to the Titans as well.
Absolutely. And now on to Indy, where the Colts are entering year two of the Shade Steichen era after a very promising first year. When you look at the Colts, this is a roster that doesn't really have any glaring holes on it, so they are well positioned to take the absolute best player remaining on their board at 15. However, they don't have a proven receiving threat outside of Michael Pittman Jr., and they also lack a legit shutdown boundary corner. Do you anticipate the Colts addressing one of those two needs in the first round, or can you easily see them looking elsewhere?
So I would think that they're taking their pick at 15. I think they're looking at Terrion Arnold, Brian Thomas, Adonai Mitchell. I think that what it comes down to is who's available right there. I think they obviously, they need both. They need to be able to stop the threat that the Texans have, right? We have three legit receivers out there. They're going to have to address that. At the same time, they do need another receiver. I think they have a bigger issue on their passing defense. They were the 17th ranked passing defense. They allowed 226 yards per game, and they didn't do anything about it. So they're actually going to get worse going up against teams like us who just have three legit threats. So I think corner is your number one concern. Receivers slightly number two right afterwards.
Absolutely. Considering the depth of this wide receiver class, the Colts can wait until day two to make an investment at that position. And after getting spurned by Calvin Ridley in free agency, Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars desperately need another weapon in the passing game. Gabe Davis, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, and Evan Engram aren't necessarily the best options for Jacksonville's aerial attack to take that crucial next step forward. If you're Trent Baalke, do you try everything possible to trade up into the top 10 for one of those big three receivers should one fall to 8 or 9? Or do you stand pat at 17 and take a Brian Thomas Jr. or an Adonai Mitchell?
So I wouldn't trade up, but I'll let me preface this by saying that Baalke doesn't do things that are honestly correct most of the time. If you look at the 2020 draft, he basically missed on every single pick. So he has never drafted a weapon for Trevor Lawrence to date. This will be the first time. Now, you have to think about that his quarterback room, all his DBs are pretty much terrible. They have the 7th worst passing defense in the league. That's 26th in the league, worse than the division. They were giving up nearly 240 yards per game. So they definitely have an issue that they have to resolve with corners. Now, this wide receiver class is deep. They could stay at 17, get someone like Terrion Arnold, and get a receiver with their 48 pick. So it really depends who's going to be available and who drops. If Brian Thomas is there, it's going to be very hard for them to just not take him because of the quality of talent that he is. But I wouldn't be surprised if they go corner or receiver at 17. However, saying all that, Baalke does some weird stuff. So, you know, could he, for whatever reason, take a linebacker there? I mean, I don't know. Baalke is not someone that you can really predict because he does weird things. However, my money would be on a quarterback or wide receiver.
Very good points about Trent Baalke, who is absolutely wasting the golden opportunity the Jaguars had with Trevor Lawrence on his rookie deal. And given the fact that this wide receiver class is deep, as we've been talking about, and this corner class, after like 4 or 5 players, falls off a cliff a little bit, do you think it would be more prudent for the Jaguars to address corner at 17 and wide receiver with their second round pick?
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do. I would do corner at 17 and wide receiver at 48. You know, you're going to have TJ Tampa that should be available right around there, and he would be a great corner. So there's going to be options. The real question is, again, is who's dropping, and that's how you're going to have to play the board. The real upset or the real question here is, does Baalke know what to do there? And that's the real question. That's something you really can't say about the Colts or the Titans or the Texans, because you've got pretty decent general managers there. The Jaguars, they're very, very questionable.
Absolutely, and I personally wouldn't trust Trent Baalke to do the right thing in this draft, would you?
Not at all.
Absolutely. The record speaks for itself that it is an abysmal record in the draft for Trent Baalke as Jaguars GM. And now on to the team you root for and cover, the Houston Texans, who a few weeks ago traded their 2024 first-round pick at 23 overall to the Vikings for Minnesota's second-round pick this year at 42 overall and next year. And just yesterday, the Texans further capitalized on that haul by trading the 2025 second rounder they acquired from the Vikings to the Bills for star wide receiver Stephon Diggs. This move is the ultimate proof that Houston is going all in to fully maximize their window of contention with CJ Stroud on his rookie contract. That said, Diggs will turn 31 this November, and both he and Nico Collins are slated to be free agents next year. Because of those circumstances, can you still see the Texans taking a wide receiver with one of their three day two picks?
I can see them taking a receiver outside the top 100, but really not before. And I'll tell you why. This comes back to passing defense. We were the 20th passing defense, even with Stingley and Nelson, and we don't even have Nelson anymore. Now, we've added Okuda, we've added C.J. Henderson, but they're really not starter level caliber as far as I'm concerned. Okuda has injury concerns, and Henderson has really just been horrible. You have Mike Fordham there, who's a depth piece. So you don't have anyone opposite of Stingley. Now, last year, we also played nickel about 78% of the time. So I could see us drafting an outside corner or a slot corner at the 42nd pick. You got TJ Tampa. Now, one of the other things to remember is that I don't think D'Amico's done at the D-line position. I think that he wants another defensive tackle. So I think that he wants Brandon Fisk. So I think that's another area where, you know, whether it's Sweat out there or Fisk out there, we could go D-line. The good thing about what we've done in free agency is that you really are giving an option for Nick Cassero to really go best player available. He can go corner. He can go D-line. He can go linebacker. He doesn't have to pick any of those because almost every other position group in free agency has been solved. The only position group that I'm worried about is the secondary. Now, it's not because he didn't add players, because he did. But the players that he added, in my opinion, aren't caliber level. So my priority would be corner. But that's not to say you couldn't get a corner at 59, Max. Melton should be there. It doesn't mean you couldn't get a D-line at 59. Chris Jenkins could be there. So there are options within the top 100, even without having the 23rd overall pick, to get all three of the positions that I just mentioned. And that's one of the things about the draft. Last year, there was a lot of questions about what Nick Cassero could do. They're up to the minute of the draft. I was covering on the live stream. It wasn't until 20 minutes before the draft where we figured out what he actually was going to do. 20 minutes, and we had the second pick of the draft. Usually that's weeks ahead of time. You know what the team is going to do. I will say that we probably won't really know what is in Nick Cassero's mind until 10 minutes before the pick.
Absolutely. And he is Vinod Tanungi, better known as VT, co-host of the Texans 22 podcast. You can follow him on X at Brown Chubby Bear. At VT, my man, it's time for the best portion of our Dash of the Draft Divisional Tour. You get to play GM for all four AFC South teams in three-round mock drafts, albeit no trades allowed. And we start with the Titans, who are on the clock at 7. Joe Alt and Roma Dudzi are the top two names on the board. Alt the pick here?
Alt is definitely the pick here.
Yeah, Joe Alt, the pick at 7 for the Titans. And I think that's a pick that's pretty much in Sharpie, unless the Chargers take him at 5. And we're back on the clock at 38 overall. Tyler Newbin, Pate Wilson, and Zach Frazier. I don't think the Titans want to draft a safety. And Pate Wilson's injury history is very, very concerning. And you don't need a center. Ladd McConkey is the top receiver on the board. And you also got Troy Franklin on the board, Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall at wide receiver. I think you have to add another receiver here because both DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley are 30 or older.
Yeah, I think you're on the money there. Ladd McConkey, he projects where he can really play inside and outside. I think that he's going to be a great pickup for them. And you're right. DeAndre Hopkins has been playing a lot of slot. He has played someone, but he's been much better in the slot now at his age. So the real thing there is if you had Ladd McConkey, you're giving Levis three real threats.
Absolutely. And Ladd McConkey absolutely stole the show down at the Senior Bowl. And I know Will Levis would absolutely love throwing to a guy like him who gets open on a dime. And now on to the Colts, who are on the clock at 15 overall. And they have their pick of the litter at corner. Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, and Terry and Honorable are all available. Do you go with one of those corners here?
Quinton Mitchell would be my pick, easily. So Cooper DeJean is a great talent, but he could really be more of a safety. I think Quinton Mitchell really is a pick out there, and I think that that's who they should pick if he's available.
Yes, if it's between him and Terry and Arnold, why pick Quinyon Mitchell?
He's just the better athlete. So Terry Arnold is awesome. Don't get me wrong. But Quinyon Mitchell is just, you know, has better ball skills and a better athlete. So to me, it's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. Those ball skills and athleticism speak for themselves. And that's why many teams have Quinyon Mitchell as the best corner on their board. And we're back on the clock at 46 overall. Troy Franklin is the best receiver on the board. Roman Wilson is on the board as well. And Ricky Pearsall, who is Anthony Richardson's favorite target down at Florida, is still available. Do you make Anthony Richardson extra happy by taking Ricky Pearsall here?
So you could take either Pearsall or Roman Wilson. One of the things about what I like about Roman Wilson is, obviously I'm a Michigan fan, so I'm a little biased here, but one of the great things about Roman Wilson is that you have that deep threat. Now, you would think that you have someone like Alex Pierce, who is also a deep threat as well, but he doesn't see a lot of targets. So you could have Roman Wilson, who has both the yak ability and the vertical speed. I think I would take Roman Wilson over Ricky Pearsall, and that's not to diminish what Ricky Pearsall has done, but one of the things to remember at Roman Wilson is that he's got that winning culture in his blood already. He has undefeated seasons. He's won a national championship. So even though he hasn't been in the NFL yet, he brings a level of professionalism right away from the bat, and I think you want to do that when you have a rookie quarterback. You bring someone that already has that national championship blood to the team.
Yeah, and also with his vertical speed, he will help Anthony Richardson utilize that incredible arm talent of his early and often. And we're back on the clock at 82 overall with the final pick of this three-round mock for the Colts. You don't need a running back. Should you double dip at wide receiver with the Javon Baker, Johnny Wilson? I don't think that's necessary with Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, and now Roman Wilson on the roster via this mock. Renardo Green, no, they don't need a slot corner. They got arguably the best slot corner in the game in Kenny Moore Jr. Interior offensive line help. I don't think they need that. Caleb Bullock. Now, this is an intriguing option because Caleb Bullock is a safety corner hybrid. And if Gus Bradley wants to do a lot of three safety looks, Caleb Bullock could be a very good pick here.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind this pick, but I also wouldn't. Listen, they may not do this, what I'm about to say, which is go again for another tackle. They obviously have a pretty good line, but this is a deep class for tackles, and I wouldn't put it past them that if they're in this scenario, which obviously is very specific to because it's a mock draft, but if that tackle is there, I don't see why they wouldn't take Dominic. Now, the reason for that is obviously you have to look at the D-lines that they're going to go up against. The Jaguars D-line is going to be very, very strong. The Texans D-line is going to be very, very strong. They may need to upgrade that. Now, their O-line wasn't bad last year, but again, upgrading there could be something that they do. Bullock obviously is, they need to do something with the secondary as well. So I think it would be between the tackle and the safety. And frankly, I potentially probably would may pick safety over only because their passing defense was just horrendous last year. So those are the two picks I would consider. And then Caleb Bullock would probably be, at the end of the day, who I'd pick, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if they pick another tackle.
Oh, that's a very good point there, VT. If you look at the Colts tackle situation, Bernard Raymond's the left tackle. He hasn't proven that he's the long-term solution as of right now. And at right tackle, Braden Smith is a stud, but he's constantly hurt all the time. So you absolutely need a swing tackle, although Dominic Pooney is more of a guard, in my opinion. So you're making the right decision here by taking Caitlin Bullock, the safety corner hybrid out of USC, to conclude this Colts three-round mock draft. And now the Jaguars are on the clock at 17. And let's see who is available. Brian Thomas Jr. is not available. Adonai Mitchell is. And Cooper DeJean is available along with Terry Arnold. We gave the Colts Quinyon Mitchell. Should we give the Jaguars Terry Arnold here?
Yeah, so this is going to be between Terry Arnold and who was the other receiver? It was
Mitchell. Adonai Mitchell, so yeah.
So it's going to be between Terry Arnold and Mitchell. I say that they could go Arnold here because they can get their wide receiver with their next pick. So I would go Arnold.
Yeah, Terrion Arnold, the pick for the Jaguars at 17 in this three-round mock. And we're back on the clock again at 48. And Ricky Pearsall is the best receiver remaining on the board. Do you think Ricky Pearsall should be the pick here?
100 bazillion percent. Like, that's exactly what Belichick should do if that option presents himself. Now he's got the corner, he's got the receiver. If he actually gets those two players, I'll give him props.
Absolutely, Ed. What does Ricky Pearsall bring to the Jaguars' current wide receiver group that's lacking?
First of all, he has athleticism, but he also has incredible hands. The dude can pretty much catch anything. He has got a huge catch radius. And one of the things we've seen with Trevor Lawrence is that he actually throws his receivers a little high to a lot of times, which is why he leads the division in turnovers. He had 14 interceptions and 7 fumbles. And part of that is because he throws receivers high. So if you get Ricky Pearsall, you can probably reduce that number. So Ricky Pearsall, in my opinion, would be a perfect fit for the Jaguars.
I couldn't agree more. And the Jaguars actually do have a third-round pick in this year's draft in the form of a compensatory pick at 96 overall. And let's see what the options are. I'm not sure they need to double dip at wide receiver. They should look at the secondary. Even though we gave them Terrion Arnold, they still need more reinforcements on the back end. Jerrion Jones, a corner from Florida State. Dadrian Taylor-Demerson, a super freakish athletic safety from Texas Tech, is another option. Let's see. DJ James, a corner out of Auburn. Chris Abrams-Drain, I love him as a slot corner option out of Missouri. So take your pick.
I'm actually going to go against the grain here. I think they actually pick a tight end. I think Eric All is a great option for them. I think that, yes, I know they have Evan Engram. He didn't have the best season last year. And I think they also have to prepare for the future. I don't know how much longer he's actually going to really be at the Jaguars. But it gives Lawrence another weapon when they go into heavy sets as well. And so I'm going to go against the grain here. And I'm going to say that they take a tight end and they go Eric All.
I'm glad you mentioned Eric All. Eric All is a very, very intriguing prospect. But the biggest red flag, injuries. Do you think somebody with medical red flags like him is worth the trouble at this spot?
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad pick here. Yes, I know it's a top 100 pick, but I think it's worth the risk and what he could provide. At the end of the day, you're getting a big body target for Lawrence, and I think that could help him out.
Absolutely. Plus, Eric All, like all Iowa tight ends, he is a very, very good blocker. The Jaguars could use another blocking tight end to help Travis Etienne and their run game. And last but not least, we're on to the three-round mark for your Houston Texans, who are on the clock at 42 overall. You mentioned corner as a need. TJ Tampa is still on the board, but you also got two good defensive tackles on the board in Braden Fisk of Florida State and Ruka Roro out of Clemson. But the pickings at corner are becoming a little slim right now, although you do have Ennis Raitrah Jr. available as well. Take your pick.
Yeah, I'm going TJ Tampa here. Obviously, there's a lot of options here that we could take, but I think TJ Tampa is really the best one. We need a corner. We need a slot, honestly, and you need an outside, but give me TJ Tampa, and now we've actually fixed the worst position group that we have in Houston.
Absolutely. And what makes TJ Tampa such an ideal fit for D'Amico Ryan's defense?
So you already have Stingley out there, and so you know that Stingley does great in man coverage. He obviously can play zone, but he's really better in man. TJ Tampa is kind of the opposite there. So what you do is you have both a man corner, you have zone corner, you complete the package there. You get a really good slot corner, and now you're really solid.
And D'Amico Ryans just might be jumping up and down if this comes to pass at 59 overall, because Texas A&M linebacker Edgerrin Cooper is still available. And D'Amico Ryans obviously wants three great off-ball linebackers to run his defense like he had in San Francisco. Should Edgerrin Cooper be the pick here?
So here's the question, right? You want to take Edgerrin Cooper. You're looking at Chris Jenkins because you also want to get him, but you think that Chris Jenkins could fall. So at the end of the day, do you take Cooper? I think you do. Right now, you have Henry Toa at Sam, and they benched him for a reason. He's undersized. He really can't cover all that well. He has a good football IQ, but his lack of having that athleticism is keeping him from succeeding. So I think you get Edgerrin Cooper. You keep Henry Toa as a backup, and boom, now you have an incredible linebacker core with Christian Harris at will. You have Al Shazier at Mike and Edson Cooper at Sam. With the defensive line that we already have, your front seven is rocking.
It most certainly is. And D'Amico Ryans, being a former linebacker himself, would be very happy to take Edgerton Cooper at 59 overall. And we're back on the clock at 86 overall. You got a lot of skill players here. Jaylen Wright, Bucky Irving, Malachi Corley, Trey Benson, Renardo Green. If you want to double dip at corner, he could be a good pick here. Let's see if there are any interior defensive linemen.
Michael Hall Jr.
He's very intriguing. A guy who could give you some nice pass rush juice in the middle.
So if we have him at 86, the real question is, I do like Michael Hall. Here's the problem, is that when he played against Michigan, he got destroyed. He was 290 pounds at the combine, and he was up to 300 pounds on the pro day. What you have, if you take Michael Hall here, you'd have to know that you can beef him up to about 310 pounds, possibly more, because we are getting bigger inside. Out of curiosity, before we look at Michael Hall, can you actually see what other interior defensive linemen are available?
Absolutely. Michael Hall Jr., Dwayne Carter out of Duke, Leonard Taylor III out of Miami, McKinley Jackson out of Texas A&M.
McKinley Jackson is an absolute beast. This dude, you wouldn't think it because he's actually a pretty decently sized defensive tackle, but the dude is an athlete. The dude can get after the quarterback. He absolutely would be my pick over Michael Hall.
Yeah, so McKinley Jackson, but would you double dip at corner with Renardo Green, or would you take McKinley Jackson here at 86?
I would take McKinley Jackson. So you got your corner, and now by taking McKinley Jackson, you literally now have a top three defensive line in the league. You already have, in my opinion, the best receiving core in the league. Now you have a top three defensive line in the league. I don't know how you can go wrong making that pick.
I don't either, VT, and he is Vinod Tenungi, co-host of the Texans 22 podcast. Follow him on X at Brown Chubby Bear. VT, thank you so much once again for joining us. And that's it for today here on Sports Crunch. But our 2024 Dash of the Draft official tour proceeds to its fifth stop in just a few days, the AFC East, where we'll be joined by my man Billy Rossetti of the USA Today Jets Wire. So stay tuned. Also, be sure to follow me on X at DCrom59 and on Instagram and now Threads at SportsCrunch with DCrom. And remember, that's Crunch with a K. For Vinod Tenungi, this is David Caramolo saying so long, and whatever you do, please choose love, please choose kindness, please choose compassion, please choose selflessness, and please choose empathy, which are the core characteristics of the best teammates and teams in any sport. Until next time, cats, kittens, stay cool.